Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Todd Adkins. All right, Todd, episode 498. Next week on this day, it's going to be a hoot with the three of us once again together, you, Ed, and I. And we'll see what we're going to talk about it.
yes, I have no idea what that is going to look like. Or whether or not it will truly be worthy of our 500th episode. I feel like the first one we did was bonkers.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. And then, I don't know. We'll have to see. Do you have anything planned?
Not yet. It'll come about. What's crazy, though, is the podcast that Christina and I do together, the In Between podcast, we just past our 100th episode, so it was kind of surreal to get to 100 another time on the podcast.
What's fascinating is, you know, if you count up all the podcast episodes that you've done or at least been a part of, so
yeah,
we're coming up on 500 on the 50Q side.
Yeah.
And then, you know, with here with New Churches now, I only get to do half of these on New Church's side.
Yeah.
But still, that's a lot of podcasts.
That is. Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I don't think I've been on more than 1,000 episodes, but I'm sure it's getting pretty close up to there. Anyway, hey, so it's the summer. It's the summer. And I know as restrictions begin to ease, and it seems like every state, city, province, country is taking it a little bit differently. In a lot of places, you're allowed to gather again. You're allowed to gather, well, maybe without singing and in smaller contexts, but you are allowed to gather. So let's listen into this question from James about that particular matter.
Hey, Dan and Ed, this is James with Foundation Presbyterian Church just outside Columbia, South Carolina. We're a church plant that began Sunday morning worship in September of 2019. And until COVID-19, we were averaging 40 per Sunday. And since moving online, we tripled our engagement. But the question I have is about assimilation. We're going to start in-person worship May 31st. But the space we rent will only allow 15 persons in it per Sunday, as opposed to the 75 that it could hold. So it seems like a big part of the journey from evangelism to assimilation going forward will need to be online. What's the best thinking you're hearing on the topic of assimilation for church plants during this strange time? Thanks, you guys.
So what's interesting is at the time of this recording, which is a couple weeks before this episode goes live, we just completed our first round of a survey at our church where we were polling our congregation just to see where their comfortability sits at reopening. Now, this survey was two-part. On the one part, it was to communicate to our church and to our city, hey, we're thinking about reopening. We know our provincial plan has been released and things are changing. You're probably wondering what we're doing as a church. So on the one hand, it was to announce that side of things. But on the other hand, it was to really gather a sense of where people were at and how they felt about reopening. The survey results were absolutely fascinating, though, because one of the things that really just popped out the most was the importance of sung worship and how so many were like, hey, you know what? This online thing isn't too bad. I wish that we could be together. And I mean, so many people were like, yeah, I wish we could be together, but I have concerns about gathering too soon. But if we do gather and we can't sing, then I would rather just wait. And for us, we can gather now up to 50 people for worship, but you're not allowed to sing. So it poses an interesting dynamic. I also heard a session from Larry Osborne out at North Coast, and he was like, hey, you know what, if you come back together and the experience is actually negative or it's worse than the or subpar to the online experience or subpar to what it was before, I know people are going to the first couple of weeks be super excited about gathering together and seeing each other, but soon they're going to feel let down because it's, you know, the expectations aren't where it was and it's just going to be a subpar experience. So one of the things that Larry suggests is to wait as much as you can until you can create a better experience in person than that which would be online. What are your thoughts, Todd?
Man, I'm kind of there on the idea of if we're gathering together to worship, then man, I'm singing. I don't care if I'm there. I'm going to sing. So either I don't go or, somebody's going to have to tell me not to sing. but I do get where people are coming from with the experience. So I'm there with Larry on thinking of the experience has to be, if it's going to be different, let it be different in a good way. And what I mean by that is if you gather those 15 people together and you do, you know, groups of 15, you know, well, I don't know, four times on Sunday morning or whatever, then do it in a way that gels the community together. Don't try to have a mini worship service because it's not going to work. So people are going to be stickier than your preaching anyway. And I know that's hard for some of us to hear because we like to preach and we like our preaching, but and we hope other people do too. But the people of your church are always going to be more sticky than your preaching is going to be because people get any preaching they want, you know, anytime they want, through podcasts and everything else. So think of it as an opportunity, a unique opportunity to build leaders, to build your capacity for development, to build your capacity for building these, you know, little mini biblical communities. One of the things I think is interesting is if you go in other parts of the country, like California, for example, you know, they're saying, hey, you can't have more than 100 people until at least November. Well, 100 people is, you know, a larger mid-sized community, which Daniel's talked about before many times. So then you've got, you know, six or seven small groups tops, five or six small groups probably tops when you add, you know, kids in, stuff like that, when you're looking at families. So I do think that there are ways that we need to consider, whether you're a church plant or no matter what size church you're in, to look at how do we tailor those experiences to draw people closer to God. Yes, absolutely. But closer to each other in the process, whereas normally they would be coming in on Sunday morning, trying to drop their kids off, probably coming into the service after the music starts. Yes, we all know that happens. And then after the service, they're trying to figure out where they're going to go eat or whatever. You have a unique opportunity to change that right now in this time. And so I think that's what we need to focus on and say, how can we be truly intentional about doing that well?
Yeah, definitely. The goal isn't when are we going to gather together to worship. I don't think that should be the goal that we preoccupy ourselves with. I think the goal is how can we be the church and how can we reach our city and how can we reach our neighbors and see our city come to know Jesus. So I think that has to be the predominant question because Online is, I mean, we can worship. I mean, part of it is we are the church, right? We are the church. You're not going to the church. So yes, we can gather online and worship as families, worship individually. We can do that. And there's that sense of the temporariness around that, that you don't have to remind everyone because everyone's being reminded with the restrictions and with this, that, and the other. And everyone recognizes the state that we are in. But when we do gather and when you do think about the energy that you are expending and the volunteers that you are mobilizing to do this, I think you really need to consider where is your time and where is your volunteers' time best spent? Is it to do 3, 4, 5, and then for other contexts, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plus 15, 20, 30 services a week? I mean, we've even considered, do we even do multiple services on every other day or other days and sign-up sheets and locations and all this stuff? And I think the ROI that you need to ways, is that actually the most effective way to do it? Or are you actually propagating consumeristic Christianity even more so? So when you think about gathering, I don't think it's a matter of gathering just to worship. I think it's a matter of gathering to be the church. So one of the things that we're considering is, hey, how do we raise up our groups and our mid-sized communities and equip families and neighbors and communities and groups to worship with one another, to gather together and leverage the fact that every space feels different. And there's that research and around that, right? From Edward T. Hall on the public space, the social space, the personal space, and the intimate space. So when you look at each of these spaces, which space is for what purpose and how can you best leverage that? And sometimes there's that sense of, hey, I just think we need to reconsider what our main priority is.
That's good.
So I guess we've been talking about gathering together again, but we didn't really address the question around assimilation. So why don't we do this? Why don't we?
Oh, I think I did. I did. People are stickier than you're preaching.
You're right.
Is to connect them to another. If you want them to assimilate, then if you can introduce them to another couple or family that, you know, your kids like their kids, or man, the off chance that you and your spouse like another couple, both of them. If that happens, you're probably in at that church. Assimilation, ultimately, in my mind, is about that connection to community. The culture that you create will carry that forward once they're connected, because people are carriers of culture. Yes, you can have programs that support that and systems and processes and all the things that, you know, Daniel and I love. You do want to make sure that you're taking them somewhere. It's not just a great community to be a part of. But the ultimate connection, the initial connection of assimilation is, in my opinion, accomplished by connecting them to people and then those people knowing what the next step is.
Okay. Oh, okay. I get it. That's actually brilliant because I think in our old paradigm, I needed to hear it twice. But part of it, what I love about that is instead of the old paradigm where it's, hey, oh, you've come, let's assimilate you to our church. And while we're doing that, help you find relationships to get connected. In this new paradigm, you're saying, hey, let's connect them to people first, of which are a part of our church community.
Absolutely. So yeah. It's time to put our money where our mouth is, because we've all been talking smack about how the church isn't a building anyway, it's a people. Well, congratulations. You now have an assimilation process that's connected to your people, not your programs or your building or something that happens in your building. It is the people. And so it's a great way to take a step back once again. And during this time to say, okay, what does need to shift in our paradigm? If we truly believe that the church is the people, then this should somehow shift our thinking during this time.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. Love that. All right. Well, thanks again for listening into the New Church's Q&A podcast. And if, like James, you have a question, be sure to send that in. Just go to speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com, hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail, and shoot that in. And we would love to answer your question and help as much as we can in the context that you're serving in. Well, thanks again for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.